Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. D-Maze is here. How we doing, D-Maze?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing well. Nick Kieser is here as well. How we doing, Nick?
Doing good. Looking forward to the Preds game tonight. They got a new player, and he has no gear right now.
Well, you don't need it, I guess. Just go out there. Get your skates on and roll. Preds in action tonight in Florida against the Florida Panthers. Willie Donick will join us in a couple hours from sunny Florida, so we'll chat with Willie about the Predators. Elliot Friedman joins us in 2 hours. I want to get into all the Preds talk later, because I want to start here, because this was something on Jared versus Joe last night. Congratulations to Joe Rexroad on a well-earned win in Jared versus Joe last night.
Why? Oh, no, I'm laughing at Nick. He said something I cannot and I will not repeat it.
You
that's between Nick and I. He didn't mean to say it. It's just it came out and it was like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's explain it this way. Derek was plugging in his headphones and we're just going to leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay, I feel like I can let my imagination roll with it from there.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyways. So, Joe, congratulations to Joe. Victory of Jared versus Joe. Jared versus Joe, champion of the week.
Oh, he won.
Yeah,
okay.
Congrats to Joe.
Congrats.
But Joe put out an article, an opinion piece, in The Athletic. Headline is, Titans have data like never before, should use it now to draft the next quarterback. And Joe loves Bryce Young.
Oh,
absolutely.
Hey, he
loves,
and I both.
Me too. I love Bryce Young. I hear the people saying he's too small. I don't care. I love Bryce Young. But Joe might love Bryce Young just a little bit more than we do. And I don't know about you, at least me, because of what Joe is willing to give up in order to get Bryce Young. In this piece, Joe highlights how with the 11th overall pick, you're so much closer to getting your franchise quarterback of the future. You're so much closer than you ever have been, and ideally closer than you ever will be, at least in the near future. And now that you're picking high enough in this year's draft, you got to go for that guy of the future, because Joe believes that Bryce Young is that guy of the future. That's something they always talk about when we talk about going all in on a quarterback this year. It's you got to make sure that he is the guy. That
exactly.
You just love him. No conditions. And that's how Joe feels about Bryce Young. So in order to do that, to trade up to the first overall pick, to leapfrog Indianapolis or Houston, because the odds are if you're not getting Bryce Young, you're going to play Bryce Young. Because either Indianapolis or Houston is going to get him, which T's and P's to whoever has to play Bryce Young in the future. But this is the kicker. Joe writes, the Titans should do everything in their power to leapfrog those rivals and get Bryce Young instead. That's going to require the number 11 pick, their second round pick, their first round pick in 2024, I would say probably minimum those picks, and Jeffrey Simmons. Something like that. I don't see how the Bears drop all the way to 11 if Simmons isn't part of it. That's a massive hit to this defense, but nothing is more important in the NFL than a great quarterback, as you may have heard, which I think we all understand. First question that you have to ask yourself, and I think we're kind of on the same page, is how do you feel about Bryce Young? Or how do you feel about any quarterback in this draft? How do you feel about any of these quarterbacks to go all in on the future to pick number one overall? That's number one question. Number two is, how much are you willing to mortgage the rest of your team, mortgage your future, in order to get the quarterback of the future? Are you truly willing to do whatever it takes to get that quarterback of the future, including Jeffrey Simmons?
Well, I mean, it depends on how much you like these quarterbacks. I've always, been a huge fan of Bryce Young. No one can convince me. I see him as a Trevor Lawrence type player. One of these guys that is just destined for greatness. He has all the tools that you need to play, that you need to have to play that position. His intellect seems to be extremely high. He has the arm strength. He can make any throw. He's great at reading defenses. He's mobile. And he has toughness. There were several times last year where this kid just stood in the pocket and just delivered pass after pass when people were in his face. You can scream about him being 6 foot and under all you want to, but I know some 6'5", 6'6", quarterbacks that don't do the things that he does. And we are so quick, not us, but we are so quick to tear some.
As a football society,
to tear, to try to find a flaw in someone, like just to try to find the smallest flaw in a player. We try to find it, and we're all guilty of it. Because we feel no one is that perfect and no one is that good. Well, from what I've seen of Bryce Young, he is that good. And if the only knock on him is he's not over 6 foot, then so be it. I'm still drafting him. I guarantee you all those pundits and all those ex-GMs that screaming, oh, he's too small, if they had that pick, they would draft him. With no hesitation. Why? Because he's a franchise quarterback. He has did things in college that franchise quarterbacks have done. He's won a Heisman. He's won national championships. He's carried his team by himself last year when he didn't have the receivers. He didn't have the offensive line that Alabama is accustomed to having. This might have been one of Alabama's worst receiver classes from the standpoint of they just wasn't experienced enough.
They could not hold on to football.
They had a bunch of young guys that were dropping a bunch of passes. Now, those guys may be a lot better this year, but this is what he had to deal with the whole season. And he got hurt and still came back and tried to carry this team into a playoff position. So there's nothing that I've seen that will tell me I shouldn't draft him number one. And with the Tennessee Titans, I've been saying this for the last, 4 or 5 months about the Titans and their quarterback. Get your franchise quarterback, because if you're in a position that you're in, you may not be in this position next year because you hope that you won't have all of the injuries that you've had over the last course of the 2 years. I don't believe you will be in this position again where you're picking at 11 and you have the ability to move up. Why? Because the team that has the first pick is willing to move down. Even if they move down once, they're willing to move down twice if they can still get their guy and they are accumulating picks.
They've got their quarterback.
Exactly. So if you don't move up to one, you can possibly move up to three and still get you one of these quarterbacks. But if you want Bryce Young, then you better try to move. And Jeff, and I said this before, if you want him, Jeffrey Simmons might have to be a part of the deal. Whoever has number one pick, Jeffrey Simmons might be a part of the deal. If you don't believe you can sign Jeffrey Simmons, because as good as Jeffrey Simmons is, Jeffrey Simmons isn't a franchise quarterback. He's a damn good defensive tackle, one of the best in the league, and might end up being the best in the league in a year or two, might end up being the best in the league this upcoming season. But if you're building a team, you don't build it around Jeffrey. You try to build it around a franchise quarterback. You may regret trading away Jeffrey Simmons. Like, he may turn into this, Hall of Fame type player. But if you,
which I don't think is that crazy.
Exactly. But you can justify it if you trade them, get your quarterback, and your quarterback is producing the way franchise quarterbacks produce. If you do that, fans won't look at you and say, well, why you trade? They will understand. Like, okay, you're trying to get your quarterback because next year you might not be in this position. Again, the Titans are in the 11th pick. They have the ability to move up in the draft. They got a new GM. He want to put his stamp on his team right now. And the way you do it is you go out, if you're capable, you go out and you get your franchise quarterback.
I could also make the argument that you've got a new GM and trading arguably the best player on that team in Jeffrey Simmons is an incredibly bold move to make as your first massive move as GM.
Yeah, you could. I understand what you're saying, but the only reason you make that move is for a quarterback. You don't make that move for nothing else. No other reason. No trying to clear cap space. No, I'm making this move because we can't sign him. No, you better sign him. Mm-hmm. But the only way you make this move is if you feel you're getting your quarterback for the next 15 years. You can justify trading a Jeffrey Simmons to get the quarterback that you believe can usher your franchise into the, you know, for the next 10, 15 years.
I just have such a hard time getting there. Mm-hmm. Because I have a dilemma of you got to do whatever it takes to get your franchise quarterback if you truly believe that mm-hmm. that is your guy. But also, I mean, because the quarterback position, as Joe writes, it's the most important position in all of sports. Mm-hmm. So you should be willing to do whatever it takes to get that guy of the future, especially in the current era of the AFC when you're dealing with the Mahomes and the Burrows and the Josh Allens and the Lamar Jacksons. Maybe. We don't know. We don't know what's going on with Lamar Jackson. But when you're dealing with this kind of quarterback-heavy AFC, you have mm-hmm. to be willing to be bold and go find that quarterback of the future. I'm just not willing to do Jeffrey Simmons. I can't do it. I cannot mortgage the future of the rest of this team around the quarterback for the quarterback. I think I'd be willing to do everything but Jeffrey Simmons.
It's a scary and bold move because that's a move that if you do it, you better get it right. And some GMs just don't have the stomach for it. Some owners don't have the stomach for it. Hell, some head coaches don't have the stomach for it. But if you're in a position to and you believe that one of them, I'm not talking Bryce Young. I'm not just talking Bryce Young, mm-hmm. isolating him. But if you believe C.J. Stroud is your guy, if you believe Will Levis or Anthony Richardson.
Oh,
if
God.
You believe any one of these four guys is your guy, mm-hmm. then you need to do what is necessary to move up and get it because you can only make this move if it's dealing with the quarterback. You can't make this move if it's dealing with any other position but the quarterback because you're trading a guy, you would potentially trade a guy that is a future Hall of Famer. The way he's been playing, if he continues to play this way, hell, he's in the Hall of Fame. No doubt about it. But you're hedging your bets on, if I trade this potential future Hall of Famer to get my quarterback, then it better be the right quarterback.
It better be the right quarterback. You know what Rand Carthon said?
It'd get you fired.
It'd get you fired. Yes. That is a move that would get them fired. Whether it would be Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, probably both. Honestly.
Exactly. Yeah, that like wouldn't that. Be a one, yeah.
Trading away Jeffrey Simmons to move up to get your quarterback of the future and it's not your quarterback of the future, you gone. That's a bold move.
I tell you this, if you do make that move and you do get your quarterback, the second most important thing is the offensive coordinator. And the quarterback's coach. Mm-hmm. Those two guys better be at the top of their game because everything hinges on the progression of that quarterback that you drafted first overall.
That's the other thing. Do you trust your coaching personnel to be able to coach up the quarterback of the future?
If you take them.
They haven't been able to.
But if you take them. Now, they've changed it. And I've been calling for
this. They changed the offensive coaching staff.
They changed the quarterback's coach. And they changed the offensive coordinator. Now, I don't know how much the offense will change or whatnot, but at least they have someone else that is tasked with the duty of getting these quarterbacks up to speed.
And you mentioned how the Titans now are in a spot to trade up, that they could trade up. Can they? Because you can only trade up if what you have is valuable to your trading partner. So is what the Titans have valuable to the Chicago Bears? We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game.
It's, if you're the Bears, you're going, well, okay, well, there goes the contract. That stinks. And are we really ready to win right now if we're acquiring an all-pro level defensive player and paying an all-pro level defensive player? We have to believe that we're ready to start winning games right now. That's the problem, you know, and that's what I think makes teams reticent if they feel like their window isn't quite there. There's some people that theorize, hey, the Bears should draft Bryce Young at one, offload Justin Fields because it just buys them a reset on the quarterback contract, especially if they think Bryce Young is even a modestly better quarterback prospect than Justin Fields. If he's 5% better, draft Bryce Young and reset the contract because you know the Bears are probably still, you know, quite a ways away from turning it around.
There you go. That was Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. Again, Joe in The Athletic writes that the Titans should do, because he loves Bryce Young. So he thinks that the Titans should do whatever it takes to trade up and draft Bryce Young. Because if you don't draft Bryce Young, you're playing against Bryce Young. And with the Titans in their draft position, this is the closest that they've been, at least in recent history, of being able to draft that franchise guy in the perfect time when Ryan Tannehill has 1 year left in his contract and you're looking ahead to the quarterback of the future. But I think Charles Robinson hits on two very important things, because Joe's hypothetical trade is 2023 first, 2023 second, 2024 first, and Jeffrey Simmons, which is a bold trade package. I mean, that is an ambitious trade package. But to do that, one of two things needs to happen, or both things. Two things need to happen. One, the Bears have to want Jeffrey Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Bears want Jeffrey Simmons? The Bears are not in win-now mode.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears, where it's at right now, they're collecting pieces to build for the future. The Bears aren't winning now. The Bears are building to win in 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now. So do the Bears really want to acquire a pretty behemoth of a contract of Jeffrey Simmons? Do the Bears want to acquire a player that, when you do acquire them, that's the message that, hey, we're going for it. We're getting better this year. We're willing to dish out the cash for an elite pass rusher. Are the Bears in the position to do that? Like Charles Robinson says, if I'm the Bears, I don't think I really want to. If I'm the Bears, why wouldn't I just draft Jalen Carter? They're in the position to do it, so they would get a pass rusher, potentially their pass rusher of the future, what they hope Jalen Carter could develop into, eventually Jeffrey Simmons one day, but you get him on the cheap, and you get 4 years to decide whether or not Jalen Carter is your pass rusher of the future. So you're allowed time, and you get him cheaper. So do the Bears even want Jeffrey Simmons, which sounds crazy to say, but in the position that the Bears are at right now, I don't think that they would.
Well, you're talking about the fourth worst defense in the National Football League in the Chicago Bears. They gave up 27 points a game. They were giving up 150-plus yards rushing. They were giving up over 200 yards passing. This is a bad defense.
It's a bad defense.
So
it's a bad team.
Yeah, it's a bad team. So when you if indeed you say – well, yeah, let's make this trade. Let's, you know, give us, you know, the picks and Jeffrey Simmons. Well, what you're doing is not necessarily that you're saying I don't understand the, okay, trade for Jeffrey Simmons and we're in win mode now. Because even with Jeffrey Simmons, you still have to stop. You still need pieces on offense. You still need playmakers on the outside. They need receivers. And, you know, so it's not just a isolated thing where, okay, we get Jeffrey Simmons. Now the perception is, oh, they are in win mode now. They're in building mode now. That's what they're in. And you go out and get a Jeffrey Simmons to a defense that's not very good. What you're getting is, yes, I know you can draft Carter from Georgia, but what you're getting is a guy that's still under 25 that has proven Jalen Carter might be great. He was great in college. He was a wrecking machine in college. We know that. Arguably, probably the best defensive player in college football next to, you know, Will Anderson. But that's what he was in college. We don't know what he's going to be. We projected he's going to be, you know, a man-child in college, meaning in the NFL as well. He's going to be able to do some of those same things that he did in college. It's going to translate to him doing it in the NFL. We believe that, but we see that with Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons is arguably a top three defensive lineman in the National Football League already. So you're talking about a guy amongst men that is considered probably the third best defensive lineman in the National Football League. So I know what I got in Jeffrey. So if they want to go with this trade, it's not necessarily we're in win mode now. No, because they still got other holes to fill. That's like the Titans moving up and getting their quarterback. They're still not in win mode now. They still have to build their team. They still need offensive linemen. They still need another playmaker. They still need a few guys on defense, more so for the depth. So even with them moving up to number one, they're not in win mode now. And if Chicago trades away that first pick to the Titans and say, we want Jeffrey Simmons and a first-round pick and a second-round pick, they're not in win mode now because they're not Jeffrey Simmons away from winning a championship.
Totally agree. They're not a Jeffrey Simmons away. They're a whole lot of pieces
exactly
away from being
able to win a championship. But what it does is they have a proven commodity. Yes, they need to sign them to a contract, and they would. But it gives them ability to move down, get the defensive tackle that they want that's proven, and also accumulate other picks so they can build this team, help build this team around Justin Fields.
My only thing is, if you're not in win-now mode, which the Bears obviously are not, and they're in build mode, how do you justify paying, let's say, what, $25 million? Probably around that ballpark number for Jeffrey Simmons per year. How do you justify paying someone that much money when you're not winning now?
You have to. That's how you begin to start winning. When you have to eventually. There's two ways to get to where you want to go. You draft, you build up draft capital, you draft, you bring in a few free agents, but you draft and hoped that as these, kind of like what Jacksonville did, they got their quarterback, they drafted all of these guys before they even got their quarterback, and then they went out and got some receivers, two receivers via free agency, and they built this team. It took them a couple of years under Trevor Lawrence, but they've now built this team into what we look at as a contending team for the AFC South, a team that, gets in the playoffs and can do some damage.
Yeah.
But how did they do it? They built it, okay? Chicago can do the same thing. The Titans can do the same thing. It's you build through the draft as well as through free agency. Those guys you get in free agency are typically guys that can help those younger guys that you drafted. Show them how to win. Show them how to practice. Show them what it takes. Why? Because they've come in from other teams, and they've been in the league long enough that they understand what it takes. They understand the time it puts in. So with those older guys and those younger guys that you're drafting, you mesh them together. You hope that within 2 or 3 years, you see the proven product, i.e. Jacksonville. Exactly what they did. They meshed the young with the older, meshed it together. 2 years later, you get a team that end up winning the AFC South and going to the playoffs.
And there's something invaluable about having a veteran presence. Totally understand that, especially when you're bringing in a whole lot of young pieces. So do the Bears want Jeffrey Simmons, which sounds ridiculous to say, but that's condition number one. Condition number two, do the Bears want to draft Bryce Young? I mean, the Bears absolutely have been fielding phone calls about the first overall pick, but I'll say about that the exact same thing about the Titans inquiring about the first overall pick. They should.
Yeah.
They absolutely should be picking up the phone about the first overall pick to see what other teams are willing to do to get that first overall pick, understanding how quarterback needy of an NFL this is right now. But who is saying that Chicago isn't obsessed with Justin Fields? They may not be. They have the first overall pick with the quarterback that they thought was going to be their quarterback of the future. Like Charles Robinson said, if they think that Bryce Young is even just like 5% better than Justin Fields, that they see a clearer vision for the future with Bryce Young than Justin Fields, who's saying the Bears don't want Bryce Young?
No, you're right, but I think they get more.
Or C.J. Stroud or whoever it might be. Yeah,
they get more assets if they trade out of that number one spot, then I think if they draft Bryce Young and then trade Justin Fields, because that number one pick with the teams that need quarterback, I think it's more coveted, because you see a Bryce Young, you see a C.J. Stroud, or even a Will Levis, you see these three quarterbacks, and if you believe that one of these guys is your guy, then you're going to do whatever it takes to move up. If Chicago drafts Bryce Young, I don't think teams are going to give you as much capital back because they've seen Justin Fields.
For Justin Fields.
Exactly.
Yes.
And not to say Justin Fields, it's one of those deals where I believe Justin Fields is a good player, and I think he will only get better. But the bad part about it is everybody's seen him now.
Yeah.
So if I'm negotiating, I'm like, I've already seen him. So I'm not giving you Jeffrey Simmons. I'm giving you some picks and maybe another guy, but I'm not giving you my guy. With Bryce Young, it's still the unknown. It's a good unknown. And it's like, well, I will give you Jeffrey Simmons and some picks for him, but I'm not doing that for Justin Fields because I know what he is.
It's the devil that you don't know versus the devil that you've seen a little bit of.
Absolutely.
Another aspect of this, of course, Joe Rexroad in The Athletic saying that he would, the package that he would see to draft or to trade up to the first overall pick in the draft, 2023 first and second, 24 first, and Jeffrey Simmons. The other caveat of that for the Tennessee Titans, and it's less on the field, but more so the perception off the field. And we'll get into that coming up next. And of course, your phone, 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063 The Game.
No, conversation went really well. You know, Frank in the weight room has done a good job of letting me know when guys are around because I'm still getting to know these guys. And so I make sure whether if I know there are players in the building, I go down to the weight room, training room, or locker room where they are just to introduce myself and let them know that my door is open if they want to have further conversation about anything, whatever it is, and they're more than welcome to come in. And Jeffrey was one of the guys that took the invite, and we sat and had a 20-minute, 30-minute conversation, realized we had a lot of people in common. And so it was really a get to know each other and, you know, break ground. But the first question I got when I got the job was from my 6-year-old son, and he asked if Jeffrey Simmons was going to be his boy, you know. And so I had to ask Jeffrey if he wanted to be my 6-year-old son's boy. So Jeffrey's cool with it right now. I told my son, Jeffrey might not like you. So we'll see when we get there. But it was a great conversation, and he's a cool dude.
There you go. Those Titans general manager Rand Carthon at the Combine on Tuesday. He said he's had conversations with Jeffrey Simmons. They've had contract talk. They're keeping it in-house, as they should. But they've had the conversations. Again, Joe Rexroad in The Athletic, he loves Bryce Young. And honestly, so do I. I love Bryce Young. 190 pounds, be damned. I love Bryce Young.
Hey, pound for pound, he's the best quarterback out there.
Oh, he's the best. He was the best quarterback in college football, no doubt about it. But Joe said the package to go up and get the first overall pick, to leapfrog Indianapolis and Houston for that first overall pick, to get Bryce Young, and Joe's writing this from a Bryce Young perspective, it could be whatever quarterback that they would want. It would be 2023 first and second, 2024 first, and Jeffrey Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think that that's your guy, whoever it is, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, God forbid Anthony Richardson, not an Anthony Richardson fan, but whatever it might be, that better be your quarterback of the future if you are willing to trade arguably the best player on your team in Jeffrey Simmons. The only other thing about that, mm-hmm. and I understand that you cannot be in this business and be scared of making these bold moves.
Scared money don't win.
Scared money don't make money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you cannot be so concerned about the outside perception to hold you back from making moves. But I do fear if the Titans do trade Jeffrey Simmons, there will now be this perception about the Titans that they don't want to pay their best players.
Mm-hmm.
You trade away A.J. Brown because the public perception is they didn't want to pay A.J. Brown. Now, I do think that if the contract negotiations were completely open and completely honest, I do think that the Titans would have been willing to negotiate, but it's a conversation for a different story. Basically, the story is the Titans didn't want to pay A.J. Brown what he wanted, so mm-hmm. they traded him. Now, Jeffrey Simmons in contract negotiations and contract talks, and you trade away Jeffrey Simmons, the perception would be, well, okay, two franchise players with the Tennessee Titans, and they traded them away for other pieces because they didn't want to pay those guys. That's a pretty dangerous reputation that you could potentially be building for your franchise, that Titans are cheap and the Titans don't want to pay players. And I don't think that that's the case,
mm-mm.
but I think that would be the perception.
Well, I mean, we know perception at times, unfair or not, it's reality. And the Titans will possibly be looked at as a team that doesn't, you know, go above and beyond to sign their guys. Now, they signed Derrick Henry back. They signed Kevin Byard back. These are two guys that they drafted.
And Derrick Henry's deal,
exactly.
$12 million a year, it's not massive
yeah,
for how
but,
important this
not how important he
is
team, but
it is the running back.
I position. Understand why the money is the way it is with him because
yeah.
as much as I believe that Derrick Henry is the best runner in the National Football League, because I classify it maybe different than what other people do. Derrick Henry is undoubtedly the best runner in the National Football League. hand the ball off to him, he's the best guy. If it's 4th and 1 or 4th and 10 and I got to hand it off to anybody, I'm handing it off to Derrick Henry. But he's not the best running back because to me, in this day and age, running back encompasses everything, pass catching, pass blocking, running a football. And where he gets an A-plus at running a football, he gets a C-minus at being a receiver, catching the ball out the backfield. So, you know, it drops him just a tad bit if you're talking about all overall running back. So I understand why they paid him the money they paid him, because they didn't deem him as versatile. He's important to what they're doing, but he's not as versatile as some of these other backs.
In the running back market.
Yeah, and the running back market is a little bit different nowadays. Yeah. Once upon a time, it was one of the highest paid positions, but now the NFL has shifted. And now it's one of those positions where, you know, we can pay two guys what we would have paid one and still get the production that we need. But if you're looking at other guys, you know, whether it's Conklin, whether it's Corey Davis, you can go down the line of guys they chose, Jonnu Smith, they chose not to sign back, that they drafted that were good players for this organization, that they just decided for whatever reason not to sign them back. So the perception is, well, the Titans don't, and then you let A.J. Brown, you trade away A.J. Brown because of contract reasons. If you do it then to Jeffrey Simmons,
the very next year.
Yeah, it does seem like, even though it's not true, it does seem like you're more willing to trade away the guys that you drafted that have been productive for you. You're more willing to trade them away than to pay them.
And that's kind of how I look at it. Mm-hmm. That, oh, you do that 2 years in a row, that two franchise players, mm-hmm. you know, cornerstones of this team, you trade away because you don't want to pay them, even though there is a vision in the Titans' minds long term. I understood the move. Trade A.J. Brown, draft a younger, cheaper A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. I understand that thought process, but that's not what came to fruition.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. So I understand the idea of Jeffrey Simmons, probably your most valuable asset on your team right now, mm-hmm. and packaging that to go get an even more valuable asset, or at least in your mind, a more valuable asset, being the quarterback position. Of course, quarterback over, you know, a defensive tackle, mm-hmm. you're going to value the quarterback more. That's just the nature of this league. But it's still the perception of it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Maybe you shouldn't think about perception. Maybe you think about your team moving forward.
Think about your team and position. Making your team better.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to continue to, you know, I've said, you know, the last couple of months, this offseason was going to be one of the most critical off seasons for this team. And I still do truly believe it, because they're in this sort of not necessarily purgatory in regards to their quarterback, but they're in this weird position with their for the quarterback position, because you have a guy in Ryan Tannehill that is capable of winning you games, and he's a good quarterback, but he's more so at the end of his career than at the beginning of his career, and I don't think you're going to be in this position again to be able to draft your quarterback. Now, if this was, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when Patrick Mahomes came out and there were like 4 or 5 quarterbacks that could potentially be drafted within the top, you know, 15 picks, mm-hmm. then okay, you would be in a good position at 11 to draft a guy of the future. But this year, because there are at least 4 teams ahead of you that need quarterbacks, or at least 3 ahead of you that need quarterbacks, you may not get the quarterback that you want this year. And who's saying that? I would bet a lot to say that the Titans will not be in this position again next year, meaning the 11th pick. I think they would be a much better team. They may still be picking in the teens, but it won't be 11. You know, they'd be 12, 13, 14, 15. They won't be in the 11, 10, 9, 8s because I believe they will be a much better team, because they will be, I assume they will be healthier next year, and they won't have these rash of injuries that they've had. So
you can at least hope.
Yeah, we hope. So this year they're in a prime position at 11 to move up to get their guy, or, you know, move down and still be able to get a guy that they love, but also accumulate more picks.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. I see your phones lining up about this. We are right to that next. Joe Rexroad says the package to move up to number one and draft that quarterback of the future, whether it's Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, this year's first, next year's first, this year's second, and Jeffrey Simmons. I'm not quite willing to do that, but would you be? We'll get into your thoughts on that. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We got Colin Cowherd on behind us, and they're doing the measurements of all the players in the draft. We're guessing this is the quarterback measurement day. Bryce Young reportedly measures at 5'10 and a half. Well, I mean, Drew Brees was listed at 6 foot. I don't think Drew Brees is 6 foot.
Drew Brees is not 6 foot.
He's not 6 foot.
No.
He's like 5'10".
Yeah.
Russell Wilson listed at 5'11". Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray listed as 6 foot. Kyler Murray is not 6 foot.
Hell no.
To me, though, with Bryce Young and the size thing, it's the weight.
Yeah, it's the weight.
He's like 190 pounds.
Yeah, he can stand to put on a couple more pounds of good weight, not just eat a bunch of Snickers and ice cream and everything else.
Right, get in the weight room. You know, get on an NFL nutrition plan. You can put on the
Do
weight,
it the right way.
190 pounds.
So
is
wait, you don't want to eat a Snickers and turn into Betty White, though, right, Derek?
Yes, right.
You're not you when you're hungry, Bryce Young. Let's get to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. We got one caller. What's up? Okay, never mind. Big E texts in the text line and says, no way if I'm the Titans, I'm trading Jeffrey Simmons for any player in the draft. Arguably the best interior defensive lineman in the league, top two or three. Sign the guy. Those guys don't come along every day. I would argue that you could say the same thing about Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
That quarterbacks like that don't come along every day. So if you're thinking about, okay, I'm looking at a defensive tackle and a quarterback, two guys that I feel like have elite talents, have talents unlike any other player in the draft or in the league, got to prioritize the quarterback. I'm not pro trading Jeffrey Simmons to get the quarterback. I want to hold on to Jeffrey Simmons, but you got to see it from both sides.
Yeah, you do. I don't think anyone's off limits. I really don't. And as much as I've, you know, raved about Jeffrey Simmons, and I think he's an outstanding player, and barring injury, I think he will potentially he would be a guy that I believe after another 5-6 years we're going to be mentioning as a potential Hall of Famer. But even with that, no one's off limits if I can get my quarterback. If I believe one of these quarterbacks is the quarterback of the future, then I'm doing what it takes to move up in the draft to get him. Because, again, I might not be in this position. I hope I'm not in this position again next year. But the quarterback, make no mistake, you said it. Everybody knows it. It's not a secret. The quarterback position is the most important position in the National Football League. Every playoff team this year, I believe, have a guy, well, at least in the AFC, have their franchise quarterback or a guy they believe is their franchise quarterback. The only one team that maybe kind of is Miami. But it's not because they don't think he can play. It's because of the concussions. But whether it's Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, the Chargers,
Jags.
Who else was that last team? I forget the other team. But all six of those teams believe in their mind that they have their franchise quarterback. You're not going to get to where you need to go if you don't have that guy.
It's an incredibly difficult
thing. Exactly. It's a difficult road to get to or to navigate through if you don't have your franchise quarterback. Not to say you can't do it, because it can be done, but it's very difficult.
Eagles did it, and that's no disrespect to Jalen Hurts.
But they believe Jalen is their guy.
Now they do.
Yeah.
But before this season, did they?
It was some questions.
They built around him, and I don't view Jalen Hurts in the same conversation as maybe a Joe Burrow or a Patrick Mahomes, but they built around Jalen Hurts, and they were able to compete with a Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Kenny the Mailman is on the line. What's up, Kenny?
Hello, good friends. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Doing good.
I'm glad you're talking about the quarterbacks, because right now this is the silly season. Things have to be said to sell things and to draw attention. Just 1 year ago, on March 22nd, I'm going to give you three quick quotes, and you tell me who they were talking about. Mel Kiper said, "This young man is the most talented quarterback in this draft."
Will Levis. Mel Kiper loves Will Levis.
Just a second. Todd McShay, this is from last year. Todd McShay said, "This young man is a right-handed Michael Vick." And then Bleacher Report said, "If this young man isn't in the top 10, it's a crime." Who are they talking about?
Malik Willis.
So, you know what? I think they go back and forth and start saying things. I just hope that the experts take a deep breath and really look at what they're saying instead of what other people are saying.
Yeah, thanks.
Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Kenny. I appreciate that. The draft gurus are wrong all the time. Mel Kiper said that Patrick Mahomes was going to be a bust.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the draft gurus have to say, they watch their film, they do their due diligence. Whatever they say, I honestly don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
What do the guys in the Titans front office think about these quarterbacks? That's the most important
thing. Yeah. It's, again, if you believe one of these guys can be the guy of the future, then you do what you feel is necessary, what you can stomach as a franchise to move up to get that guy. If you can't stomach trading away a Jeffrey Simmons, well, don't do it. Well, you ain't going to get to the number one pick unless you try to, you know, come at it a different angle. If you think C.J. Stroud is the number one pick and you want to move up to get him, then you do what is necessary to get him if you have the stomach to do it. If you don't, then you stay where you're at. And you live in this world where you're hoping that Ryan Tannehill can get you where you need to go and build, because you're building around him. Or you're getting someone else's quarterback to be your quarterback for the next, I don't know, 5-6 years. Or you're hoping and praying that, okay, if I draft a quarterback in the second or third round, that they work out. And all those things can be, all those things can happen in to your advantage,
yeah.
Meaning you can get somebody else's quarterback and they can lead to the Super Bowl.
Matthew
you can draft
it,
exactly. You can draft a guy in the second or third round and he can lead you to the Super Bowl. Yeah, you can do that. But
Jalen Hurts,
absolutely. But if you're willing to stomach it, you move it. If you're not, then you have to figure out another way to get the guy underneath center that is going to be a franchise guy.
And I would say more times than not, if that's the guy in a second, third, fourth round, like Dak Prescott in Dallas, that's almost more so the exception and not the rule.
Exactly.
Like if you find a guy in the fourth round, like a Brock Purdy, like we're looking at Brock Purdy doing what he did in San Francisco, like it's a miracle because that doesn't happen because the best quarterbacks go in the first round. Like Jeff from Tennessee texts in and says, surely the Titans are smarter than to trade up to the first overall pick. It never works out. It very rarely works out. We need to establish quarterback and stop playing mediocre football. I think that's two different statements.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree that usually first overall pick, a quarterback, that doesn't always mean that quarterback is going to bring you to the promised land. David Carr was the first overall pick at one point. But also Joe Burrow was the first overall pick at one point.
Trevor Lawrence was the first overall pick. And you see what he's doing now.
Peyton Manning was a first overall pick. But there's also so many first overall pick quarterbacks that just don't. Baker Mayfield. They just don't work out. But to say we need to establish the quarterback, stop playing mediocre football, well, trading up to the first overall pick, that would be doing what it takes to find your quarterback of the future, to establish your quarterback, and to stop playing, I'm not going to say mediocre football, the Titans haven't been mediocre, the texture uses the word mediocre, that would be to try and get better than what they have been.
You figure if you draft that guy with the first overall pick, whoever it is, whether it's quarterback, defensive lineman, running back, you figure this guy is a franchise changing guy. This guy is a building block. Like he's a foundational piece to what we were going to do. Whether it's the quarterback, defensive end, running back, wide receiver. If you draft him first of all, that's what you're saying. Basically, is this is a guy that's going to be a big part of what we do moving forward. He's a foundational piece. So, if you do indeed draft a quarterback number one overall, if the Titans move up to that point, I think with that pick and whoever it is, he gives you an opportunity to be in a position year after year to win a Super Bowl. He may not win it because the first overall pick, you know, and we did this exercise, I think, a couple of weeks ago. There haven't been many first overall picks that have won a Super Bowl with their team. Not to say they haven't been good or haven't been, you know, great in a sense, but they haven't won. Not many have won a Super Bowl with the team that drafted them. Usually, you know, i.e. Matthew Stafford, they go to another team to end up winning a Super Bowl. So that first overall pick, he's going to produce for you, but you got to make sure that the environment around him is conducive to winning. You talked about David Carr earlier. I think David Carr was a good quarterback. I think he was worthy of the number one pick, but not by the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. They were a bad team.
Yeah.
A bad team. And that guy suffered so much behind that offensive line. Any quarterback that was drafted by Houston under that circumstance wouldn't have done well. So he sort of got the raw end of the deal, you know? And people look at it as he was a bust. Well, he came in and he got damaged very quickly and never recovered from it.
I feel like that's the same way we'll look at Baker Mayfield whenever his career is done, you know, 10, 15 years in the future. We'll look at Baker Mayfield almost like a bust when really – I think he was just drafted by
the wrong team.
A bad organization.
Exactly.
And they didn't do him any favors. It was constant, you know, revolving door at head coach, offensive coordinator, constant changes on the offense.
Well, almost having a Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, true. I mean, they pulled the plug on the Urban Meyer experiment very quickly because I think they knew. I think they also kind of had to.
Exactly.
I mean, Urban Meyer did so many things off the field that were worthy of firing. But, I mean, if you kept Trevor Lawrence in that toxic environment any longer – probably could have looked at Trevor Lawrence the same way. They saved him in that sort of sense. Tommy texts in the text line, says, if Rand Carthon trades Jeffrey Simmons to move to number one, I would fire him before the draft is over. Absolutely not. I honestly believe that Hendon Hooker has more potential than Bryce Young. Hot take. If you want a quarterback, go get him. And if you're worried he goes in the first round, then trade back and get picks and let him fall to you. I think this Bryce Young kid is being too overhyped. Bama is always loaded and their quarterbacks never succeed with the exception of Joe Namath. Okay.
Huh? Did he watch Tua before he got hurt?
Jalen Hurts.
He took his team to the Super Bowl. He was a Alabama quarterback for two seasons or three.
That's a totally fair critique of Alabama quarterbacks in this last generation of football. But once Alabama adapted into the kind of very pass-heavy, throw-the-ball-around, high-tempo, up-tempo offenses, that narrative changed.
Exactly.
You could look at like a Greg McElroy or a A.J. McCarron, and those are all totally fair critiques of those quarterbacks because those quarterbacks were game managers that had elite pieces around them, elite running game, elite receivers, elite offensive line, elite defenses, and all those quarterbacks had to do was just dink and dunk the ball and then don't turn the football over. Mm-hmm. That's changed. Alabama quarterbacks are in a different position now. Mm-hmm. They still have elite talent around them, but I don't know how you could have watched Bryce Young this past year and not said that he was absolutely the captain of that ship.
I don't know how you look at Bryce Young and say he was overhyped.
Overhyped.
What were you watching?
I don't know how you could watch him against Tennessee and him just, you know, run all around the field and
That game alone should tell you that this kid is the real deal. Because again, he almost single-handedly, if it wasn't, you know, he basically gave him the lead at the end. And then Tennessee ended up getting the ball and doing what they did. But he single-handedly almost won that game for Alabama.
Yeah. I don't know. Who was their running back?
Alabama's running back?
Uh-huh. Transfer from Georgia Tech. I can't think of his name right now, but those two. But Bryce Young single-handedly beat Texas.
But you're saying, I wonder if the Texans is a UT fan because, you know, Hendon Hooker. And I think Hendon Hooker is
Jameer
wonderful.
Gibbs.
Yeah. I believe Hendon Hooker is a wonderful quarterback. But to try to say that he's better than Bryce Young, I mean, I won't even argue with you.
No disrespect to Hendon Hooker. But hot take.
Yeah, that is.
So the Titans have so many options at quarterback. But they also have so many options with their current quarterback. We talked to Tim Hasselbeck yesterday, and he laid out some of the options that the Titans have with Ryan Tannehill and what he would do if he were part of the Titans, and do we agree? We'll get into that coming up next, and of course, back to your phone, 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie Demes, 1025-1063 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.